Great, great Resurrection Day. We're going to begin listening to the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2. You've already heard this verse as a part of the gospel lesson, but as I extend great glad tidings of glorious news that he is risen, I also want to extend to you the title of our sermon, which is He's Got This. He's Got This. Matthew 28:2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and he rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, thank you for all that we have heard by way of your word this day. Thank you for these truths. Thank you for this glorious hope that you have given to us. A hope that we share, a life that we share, a resurrection that we share, even with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that as we trust on you for all of our tomorrows, we would ask that you would help us to trust in you for our todays. Help us to know that in all of these things that you've got it. You've got it under control. You're in command. Your ways and your will prevail. And it will redound to your glory and to our benefit. Help us to be assured of these things this day. In Jesus' name, amen. He's got this. Those of you who know me know that I am not very much into technology, and it is only by the good grace and the communication of even my mom on Facebook, her being able to steer me into a Facebook where I was able to witness this glorious birth of this giraffe that apparently the whole world has been following and watching almost forever. Praise be. Technology is not my bag, but I was able to participate in that, thankfully. Not a lot I know about modern technology. I'm far more familiar with a dashboard than I am with a hashtag. But I do know what a meme is. Don't know how I've come to discover this, but I do know. And I know that memes are greatly utilized in social media. A meme is something that is generally a one-liner, and it is usually accompanied by a picture that sends a message. If I were to create an Easter meme and put it out on social media, my Easter meme would be this that we see in slide one. He's got this. He's got this. A picture of the angel of the Lord sitting on that massive stone that's been rolled away from the door with the caption, "He's got this." Sitting there. That's his seat. Look at those wings. Ain't nobody gonna bump him from his seat. He's got this. He's got this. Of course, this is a takeoff on the thousands of memes citing, "I got this," or "We got this." Those memes communicate, don't worry. Perhaps you've seen these. Perhaps you've seen too many of these. Perhaps you've seen 10,000 of these. They mean don't worry. They mean that I or we got this covered. It means that we got it under control. It means that it's a piece of cake. It means hashtag that was easy or hashtag done. Often they are accompanied by some outlandish exploit in an action movie where the hero takes charge and does the seemingly impossible, and he avoids danger and he avoids a certain death. There's a rescue there. But right before the rescue, there's this impossible thing. It's kind of like a guy who kills 10 alligators as he's blindfolded or something like that. But they're all spared, they're all saved, they're all rescued. But as he dives into that action, he says, I got this. And so you can relax. You can relax. This I've got this we've got this lingo has become a staple expression in our culture. So much so that in our arrogant, overconfident American culture, I usually don't start worrying about something until I hear somebody say, we've got this. And then I roll my eyes and start worrying about it. But if ever there was a symbol or an expression where truly, earnestly, honestly, surely, God was sovereignly in control and bringing rescue and victory, it is here. As that angel sat upon that stone. That is a scene, that is a symbol which just shouts and screams, he's got this. On one level, that seated picture reflects peace and safety and rest. On another level, that seated posture speaks judicially. There's authority there. There's power holding sway there. There is ruling taking place and reigning taking place. It's not an accident that in the scripture there, God gives us that information that that angel sits on that rock. Because God's got this. He's got all the power. He's got all authority. And that's what that seated posture represents. All of this and more we will explore today. But first, what a capstone, pardon the pun, but what a capstone this is for this whole series on what's church got to do with it. All through this series and even last Sunday, Palm Sunday, where we cited God's sovereignty and knowing that our times are in his hand, even as Jesus knew that his times were in the hand of the Father. All through that series, we've been talking about how God serves us. And today, as we rejoice in the fact that Christ is risen, and that as we heard from our epistle reading, that we are raised together with him, so today we rejoice as well. Today, he serves us by serving us notice and serving the world notice that he's got this. Even when things may seem to have completely gone awry. And it is to this group, the church, his followers, that he continues to reveal himself. If we look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, Jesus says unto them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers that they go into Galilee and there they shall see me. What's church got to do with it? It is to and through his church that the Messiah makes memes like the one that I've described to you here where he proclaims that he's got this. Back in Matthew 28 and 2, the angel there. The angel is sitting on that rock, sitting on that stone. That stone representing our worst fears. And I want you to go through the exercise this morning in thinking about what is it that I'm afraid of the most? What is it that's bothering me the most? It's symbolized in that stone. Symbolizing our worst fears, that stone is symbolizing every enemy we might have, every obstacle, every opponent we may have in our lives, symbolizing death itself. And it's all been rolled away. It's all been rolled away. Let's do this exercise. What are your fears? Who are your enemies? What obstacles do you face? What opposition stands in your way? These may be things that are large, they may be things that are small, but they are all rolled away, and the angel of the Lord sits upon them. Remember Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus comes on the scene there, and there was a cave there. There was a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." They were afraid of all sorts of things, not the least of which is the fact that he stinketh because he was 4 days dead. But take away the doubt. Take away the obstacle. He's got this. But what of this angel here? Who are angels? What are angels? Over in Hebrews in chapter 1, we have it described for us what angels are. Unto which of the angels? And there's a little bit of a compare and contrast here between angels and Jesus. It was unto Jesus that God said, "Sit at my right hand until I make enemies thy footstool," not unto angels. But who are angels? What are angels? Are they not all ministering spirits? That's who angels are. Ministering spirits who are sent forth to minister, that's to serve, them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's what an angel is. That's what an angel does. They are always, ever, and only serving him, and they are serving him by way of serving us. And so they're the ones who, yeah, God is the one who's doing it. He's behind the scenes, but it is angels who are rolling away stones and sitting upon them. And that's why the meme says, "He's got this." God is the one who's got this. They roll away the stones. They sit upon the stones. But it's all his doing. Now, of course, there is this business of sitting. That, too, is not only a part of the meme. It plays the dominant role. To sit is to preside. To preside judicially. Even here in Hebrews 1, if we stay there for a minute, sorry about that. Unto which of the angels did he say, "Sit there"? No, Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father. He didn't say it to the angels. He said it to Jesus. But what was he saying when he said that to Jesus? When he said that you are to sit here? Well, for us to find the answer to that, we go back to Psalm 110. And we see in Psalm 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord," Jehovah said unto my master. David is saying this psalm, and he says, Jehovah, God said to my master. Here's David. David's the king. So he's not talking about Jehovah. Jehovah said to my master. Who is David's master? This is Jesus. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." If we look at verse 2 of this passage, what does this mean to sit at the right hand of the Father? "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." God has raised up Jesus at the ascension. Jesus is raised up. He sits at the right hand of God. And Jesus, by sitting, is ruling and reigning over all the world, including his enemies. That's the import of Psalm 110. If we were to go to verse 5 in this passage here, "The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath." There's that idea of his administration, the execution of his justice in the earth. We come to verse 6 in this passage, and it says, "He shall judge." There's the idea. He's sitting there. He is in judgment over even the heathen, the nations. "He shall fill the places with their dead bodies. He shall wound the heads of many countries." By the way, it is Psalm 110 that is the most quoted section of the Old Testament in the New Testament. Psalm 110 is quoted or referenced at least 16 times in the pages of this tiny New Testament that we have. It was the theme of the first century Christians. That is the thought that dominated their whole worldview, is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, that he's in charge, that he's got this. Even under the intense affliction and persecution in which they lived, he's got this. In our own culture, this idea of sitting is pronounced meaning the same thing. When we think of a judge in a courtroom, A judge is seated. Where? At or on the bench. All of these references here. As he presides in a courtroom and he issues and he administers justice. You know, all over the New Testament, there's this idea, you know, Lord, will I be able to sit at your right hand? Will I be able to sit by your side? That's the idea of ruling and reigning. And Jesus did promise his disciples that they would sit in the kingdom of God and that they would be rulers and that they would be judges in the culture. We could look in Luke in chapter 22 and in verses 28 through 30 when Jesus is administering the Lord's Supper here. And he says, you are they who have continued with me in temptations as I appoint unto you a kingdom. Here's these fishermen, these lowly, you know, these us kind of guys, right? He is appointing to us a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink. That means you can come to this table here. And then when you come to this table, you are sitting on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. To sit is to judge. When we see that angel on Easter morning and he rolls away that stone and he sits upon it, he's in charge. He representing God is in charge, ruling the earth. Back in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2, this angel is sitting on that stone and he depicts the angelic rule and reign prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The angel sits. But the message is, he's got this. God has it. The same is true concerning your stone. Concerning your hard place. He's got this. The hope that I have for departed loved ones. I'd put my dad on that list. The hope that I have for him is this, that he's got this. The hope that you and I can have for all of our hard places is this, that he's got this. Look at Romans in chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Whether it's the hope for the loved one, whether it's whatever it is that is that rock, that hard place, that thing that is afflicting you, that enemy, that obstacle, that opponent, that stone, that rock in your way that's blocking you, that obstacle. Through Christ, we are promised that we will be victors in these things. Of course, the stone rolled away speaks volumes. Stones always speak. It's not just, you know, a rock. It was a stone. A part of God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Do you know that all of creation praises God? All of creation speaks. And so when we see that stone there and we see it rolled away, it's saying something. Perhaps you remember from the readings on Palm Sunday back in Luke in chapter 19 when the people were praising Jesus and the Pharisees come up to Jesus and said, tell them to stop praising you. Tell them to stop it. He answers and he says unto them, look, if they will hold their peace, if they end up not praising me, the very stones will immediately cry out. As we look at this passage in Matthew on this Easter morning here, this part of it that we always just kind of read right through, the stone is speaking. The stone is speaking and the stone's been rolled away. And by the way, I'm not going to go into these passages here, but don't miss the fact that as Peter tells us, we are living stones that comprise and make up this new temple that is supposed to be glorifying God. We are living stones and we are to speak. How about Matthew 16? When Jesus comes on the scene and he says to the disciples, he says, you know, who are men saying that I am? And some say, well, some people say that you're Jeremiah. Some people say that you're Elijah. You're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. You're that prophet. But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and he said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon. You're the son of Jonah, flesh and blood. You've not to come to this conclusion through your own ability and your own mental capacity. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. But my Father, there's been a spiritual awakening and a spiritual understanding that's been granted to you that you've been able to recognize that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, you're this rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon your profession, upon your praise. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Don't let anyone ever minimize what's church got to do with it. The church is still these living stones that are speaking. And so the stone that was rolled away all by itself, that stone speaks volumes. The angel speaking speaks volumes. In Matthew 28, in the middle of the gospel lesson, it said that the angel actually said things to the people there, right? And what did he say? Don't be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus. He's not here. He is risen as he said. Go quickly, tell his disciples that he's risen. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. The angel speaking speaks volumes. And then finally, the angel sitting speaks volumes. The angel sitting speaks volumes about ruling and reigning, about justice and jurisdiction. But the angel sitting also speaks volumes about rest. About rest. When we come to the communion table and it's time for us to partake, you know what? We do that in a seated position. There's significance in that. That's one of the few things that the church does that isn't born out of their laziness. We are embracing the rest that God gives to us. He's our king. We are also embracing the rule and reign of sitting on a throne as we come to this communion. We've talked enough about the angel sitting on that stone and ruling and reigning. But what about rest? He rolled away that stone and he sat upon that stone. He was at rest. Not just ruling and reigning, but rest, as in safety, as in peace, as in completion. From John 19 and verse 30, you remember this when Jesus dies on the cross. His final words are, it is finished. It's completed. The work is done. His dying words were, it is finished. Now, I hope you know how Psalm 22 ends. I know that you know how Psalm 22 begins. Remember Psalm 22 and verse 1? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's the crucifixion. Jesus dying on the cross. And the next dozen or so verses are all about the particular anguish, the horrific anguish that Jesus went through on the cross. But Psalm 22 ends with the resurrection in the rearview mirror. I didn't say the crucifixion in the rearview mirror. I said the resurrection in the rearview mirror. We look at verse 31, we see this. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. Psalm 22 ends with hashtag done. Matthew 28 and verse 2. That angel sitting on that stone says it all. Slide 1. That angel sitting on that stone says it all. That angel sitting on that stone says, "He's got this." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we rejoice in the significance of this day, what this day means, what it meant for Jesus, for his vindication, what it means for us, for our vindication. Thank you for what it means in terms of your sovereignty. Thank you for what it means in terms of your rule. Thank you what it means in terms of your rest. Thank you for what it means in terms of our rule. Thank you for what it means in terms of our rest. Father, over and over on this first Easter, there was this charge to not be afraid, not to worry, not to be fearful. Father, for what's ahead for us ultimately, we do not fear. We are confident. We are confident that you will raise us from the dead. And so, Father, today we express our joy in that, but also today, Father, we exercise our confidence that for the things of this day, the things we're fretting about today, those hard places, those rocks, those obstacles, that which is in opposition, that sickness, that brokenness, that destroyed relationship, those finances, all the afflictions, Father, we trust in you to roll them away. Help us to see that you have those as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.